These days my nerves are wearing thin. Burning that candle till it's burned out. No sign of a second wind. There's a voice in my ear, thought but so clear, saying I'm still right here. So don't you dare go giving up. Fight the good fight.
Great day in Jesus, and it's a great day to be alive. I gotta get this message over here. I'm going to kind of start on time this morning and early because somebody post this in the chat room for me. This is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the hidden works of darkness jealousy, envy, covetousness, integrated with spirits of resentment, greed, and lust. Now, can you post that for me? I want to talk about hidden works of darkness, jealousy, envy, covetousness, integrated with spirits of resentment, greed, and lust. You see, for the past couple of days, we've been involved with emotional healing. I don't know if you made a note of that or not. Thank you, Tammy. Hidden works of darkness, jealousy, envy, covetousness, integrated with spirits of resentment, greed, and lust. Once again, remember I explained to you when God showed me that what a fibroid tumor looked like, how a fibroid tumor can have teeth in it. It can have an arm, a leg. It can have a mass. It could have anything in it because it's a mutation that takes place. Well, and it's a cluster. And that's how demons function. They function as a mass, but they have many supporting spirits. It can have a hierarchy in there, but it's never one. So what yesterday, I mean, I had a really, really prayerful day, thank God. And I've had some things on my mind for weeks. I just kept ministering what the Holy Spirit was giving me and what the angel was showing me. And I know God was going somewhere, but I wasn't really certain until about 1 o'clock. So I've been up since 1 o'clock typing this. And I've been up since 1 o'clock. Remember, when God gives me a message, I have to look at myself first. I have to see, why is God giving me this? What is it in me that he wants to fix, or I need to fix, or that he wants to shape and mold? And I have a responsibility in it too. But my first responsibility, just like yours, is to see where you see yourself in it, or if you see yourself in it. Now, the first scripture that the Holy Spirit gave me was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and kind of led me to the Amplified translation. And it reads like this. Post it, please, somebody. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands firm, immune to temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, I got to look at myself. I got to check myself out. And then the Holy Spirit says, but if he does, Erica, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is the answer. You see, when I was early on ministering itinerant, you know, fresh off the mission field, when I started those churches, and then I put those young ministers in them because I realized then, you know, I ain't no way I was ready to handle that, you know. But so many people came and so many people got delivered and saved that there was a need for a church. So I would start one and I would leave it going. But the Holy Spirit said, Jesus is still the answer, Erica. I said, okay. Then I heard, I am the door. I looked that up, John 10 and 9. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10 and 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. Now, you know that's my last name. So I knew God was talking directly to me. It's something I knew that I needed to examine myself with and I need to fix. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. John 10:14. Jesus. And so then Holy Spirit started ministering to me. And this was, I got it as best I can. And I looked stuff up on the internet to make sure I got it as right as I could. But the Holy Spirit was saying, you must beware, brothers and sisters, of jealousy, envy, covetousness, because they have been a destructive, infiltrating system within the body of Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ, especially within a little or small group of growing Christian believers. The ground under our feet may not be as solid as we think it is. The Holy Spirit said, if you have built your works on anything other than Christ's love for you, you are in danger. Are you hearing me? If you have built your worth on anything other than Christ's love for you, you are in danger. If you see others as better than you in any way, you are in danger. Admiration is a dangerous thing. You may admire a person, but you must not desire their particular and unique identity. In Christ Jesus, it is important that you be happy within yourself. Post this, somebody. You must love yourself as God loves you. You see, godly admiration for you that God calls the beloved, it looks something like this, and it sounds something like this. You are lovely, you are lovable, and you are loved. Can you say that this morning to yourself? I am lovely, I am lovable, and I am loved. Can you say that? I can't hear you. I am lovely, I am lovable, and I am loved. Can you say that again? I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. Can you say that as many times as you need to get any anxiety out of you and get any feeling out of you that does not have you in ease? Can you say it again? I am lovely. Go into ease. I am lovable. And I am loved. Come on. I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. Now, can you say it until it just flows out of your mouth? Flowing. I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. Come on. get to ease with it. I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. Can you do it one more time for the Holy Ghost? I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. Can you tell it to Jesus this morning? I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. Now, speaking about yourself, can you tell that to God? God, thank you. I am lovely. I am lovable. And I am loved. It feels strange to say that to yourself, doesn't it? But even although it does, you need to periodically do it anyway. In fact, you need to keep on doing it until you can feel it on the inside of you. And when you get to the point where you can feel it on the inside of you, at that point, I want you to ask God to show you why he loves you. Get a pencil and a piece of paper. I want you to ask God to show you why he loves you. And then I want you on that same piece of paper to tell God why you love him too. See, as I was pondering all this stuff and in prayer and thinking and everything on how I was going to convey this, I read in this, I buy a lot of children's books because the Bible Sunday school teachers, they break things down to kids simply. But I read that if you don't know how to love, look at a child. And if you don't know how to receive love, look at a child. And it's true. Children know how to give love, and children know how to receive love. And the love of a child is pure, it's open, and it's unadulterated. Now, I want you to think for a minute. I want you to think. I want you to think, whatever happened to distort your vision of yourself as lovable? Think about that for a minute till you can see it. Till you can see what happened in your own life that stopped you from seeing yourself as the lovable, lovely person that God created you to be. Can you do that this morning? Just take a few minutes and see yourself as that lovely, lovable person sent by God to this earth because he loved you. Come on, I need you to see. When did that change? When did you stop being that lovable, joyful, happy, loved person that God sent to this earth? When did you stop being that? And I pray for you this morning that you would be filled up on the inside with more of that kind of love. And that you, the same way you could see yourself, lovely, lovable, and loved, would stop being judgmental of yourself, that you would stop being judgmental of other people, because being judgmental of other people or even yourself is a direct connection to envy and jealousy and covetousness. You see, those three spirits, and especially hooked up together, is the kind and causes the kind of emotional effect that overwhelms a person. You see, being judgmental towards others or hypercritical of them leads to envy. It leads to jealousy. It leads to covetousness. The Lord revealed something, maybe just a little something, about judgment being a two-sided sword. You see, if I judge, I'm critical of others. Now, I may also judge or be critical of myself. This is called dual judgment. And it puts me in the place where I cannot receive what I need to receive from God's own Holy Spirit. I cannot receive from even the people that God places me with to teach me and instruct me in his way. You see, I found out that when I judge, I also cannot give out ministry to others because I'm also judging myself. So here I am stuck. I cannot receive and I cannot give. I cannot minister because I'm judging me, and I cannot receive ministry from somebody else because I'm judging them. So that puts you in a real precarious position. It puts you in a position where you're neither giving nor receiving. And as a believer, we know that things that are not given or receiving can be labeled spiritually dead. Now, the other thing about judgment is that it is not of God. Let me repeat that. It's not God's way, because he is the judge. You ought to be glad somebody's bringing this to your attention this morning. Because some of us don't stop to think and consider that we are not the judge. And you know why we do that? Because we're so busy hiding. We're hiding. We're guilty of hiding our own negative traits, still thinking judgmental thoughts in our head about other people. Do I need to repeat that? We're guilty of hiding our own negative traits. And in our own mind, we still thinking judgmental thoughts in our heads about other people, because we want people to think that we're good and that we're so normal and that we're so right standing with God, which leads us into self-righteousness. So we we hide our own negative attitudes. And we don't even realize doing that makes us a contributor to the sin of jealousy, envy, and then it opens us up to so many other things. What's even worse, the connections between self-hatred, envy, and jealousy are misinterpreted. Post Psalm 18:25a, please. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. That's what it says. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Now, here's something I got to point out to you. And I want you to understand this. There is a difference between jealousy and envy. Did you hear me? There is a difference between jealousy and envy. Envy means discontented, longing for someone else's advantages. Jealousy means unpleasant suspicion or apprehension of rivalship. Envy occurs when we lack a desired attribute that is enjoyed by another. Jealousy occurs when something we already possess is threatened by a third person. So then the question becomes, what is the root of envy? Simple. Envy derives from a Latin word, invidia, and it means non-sight. So envy is a two-person situation. Envy arises from or leads to a form of blindness, both spiritually and naturally. Envy has signs. You aren't happy for others when they achieve success. Envy has signs. Another person's success makes you feel unhappy. Envy has signs. I have it. I don't want you to have this. You see, when a person is operating through that spirit of envy, they feel the need to diminish somebody else's success. You judge others negatively. And you're happy when others face setbacks. Whereas jealousy is a three-person situation. Jealousy. I don't want you to have what I have. As I was looking this up, after being led by the Holy Spirit, after going through some stuff yesterday, you know what I read? It's right there on YouTube, too. Jealousy is so universal that even dogs feel it. Yep. Dogs possess and can possess that spirit of jealousy. I didn't say envy. A new study, and I thank God because he led me to this yesterday, and the study had just come out yesterday out of San Diego, California. The new study shows that a dog can be just as green with envy as a human if it thinks another dog is homing in on its owner. And as I, you know, I took notes from that, has your dog ever seemed envious of another dog in the house? This study is according to the University of California, San Diego. Dogs may snap at or push their owners if they feel jealous that their humans are paying too much attention to another canine. So this scientist and these PhD candidates from UC San Diego came up study of the behavior of 36 dogs. The scientists evaluated the dog's behavior for signs of attention-seeking aggression or interest in the owner or these objects that they use. And they said, we can't really speak to the dog's subjective experiences, of course, but it looks as though they were motivated to protect an important social relationship. She said, they said a few didn't show any behaviors that could be interpreted as jealousy. And that raises interesting questions about what was different about those dogs. So you could go on internet and read that if you care to. Okay. I didn't get a whole lot into covetousness because there was so much I was trying to take in, jealousy and envy. But working together, envy, jealousy, and covetousness, you know what I found out? Envy, jealousy, and covetousness consumes the soul, just like cancer consumes the body. Now, we all know that cancer is destructive. So once envy and jealousy gets its grip on you, those spirits are on a mission. And that mission is to kill you, steal you away from God, and destroy not only your relationship with God, but any godly relationships around you. You hear me? Those demonic spirits, by the mere fact that they're spirits and functioning like a cancerous growth in your soul, is just as destructive. They ruin you. And if they become too integrated with your personality, they take over. If they become too integrated, they can cause weakness in a body part and cause a part of your body not to function right. And an example I found was, it's like the forbidden woman whose lips drop honey in the Bible. Envy, jealousy, and covetousness seduces and beguiles you by flattering you and telling you what you deserve when they work in your mind or in your soul. They fill your head. They fill your soul until you can think of nothing but your own envious mechanisms, the way you work, your own jealousy. And you know the Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave, and your own covetousness. It becomes self-serving, self-seeking, integrated in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. But what it doesn't tell you is that you're going to be destroyed by them. Just like that Proverbs 5:4-5 woman I told you about. Just as the forbidden woman destroys her lovers, but in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Brothers and sisters, envy, jealousy, and covetousness is destructive because those spirits invade the mind and the soul of a person. Envy, jealousy, and covetousness is deceitful. Those spirits invade the mind and the soul of a person. Envy, jealousy, and covetousness is a snare. It's a trap. And it is intended to ensnare you. Tension is to drag you down to hell with rage. And those spirits invade the mind and the soul of a person. Envy, jealousy, and covetousness is selfish. And those spirits tempt by compelling us to become selfish and more selfish and more selfish through the lie that you love everybody, through the lie that you want to help everybody, to the lie that you're in the kingdom of God to serve God and his people, when envy and jealousy and covetousness are working through you to do what? Make you self-serving. And you know what else? They are all a deeply personal sin. You see, it's not about the other person. The truth is all about me. It's all about me. Envy, jealousy, covetous. Put this in the chat room. It's the ultimate blame game. Envy, jealousy, and covetousness. The ultimate spiritual blame game. People who are bound by those spirits never consider the perspective of those who they are envying. They never consider the perspective of those that they are jealous of, and they never consider the perspective of those who are envied. Those spirits have the ability to create a tunnel vision that only sees how I have been mistreated, how I have been dogged, how I am the victim, how they have done this to me and they have done that to me. You see, when you're bound by that trio right there, you take on the spirit and the persona that the other person has no opinions, or that the other person has no feelings that need to be considered, since they are not the ones that are being wronged. You see, but there's a problem with this type of tunnel vision. And the problem is that there's no way out of this mindset. There is no way out of this mindset without a total exposure and a total acceptance substance within the mind and the heart of the persons that are carrying, that are walking around, that have allowed these spirits to integrate so to such a level within their own personality that they can't see themselves as they really are. Because within their soul, they're looking through envy. They're looking through jealousy. They're looking through covetousness. And you cannot get out of this mess, out of this bondage by yourself. Forget about it. You will need to be healed by God's own Holy Spirit. You will need to be delivered by God's own Holy Spirit. God, by way of his only Holy Spirit, is the only one that can help us to love the unlovely, or just help us to see the loveliness in the unlovely, and then bring our own attitudes and prejudices under the eye and the hand of God so that we can see the truth and break free from the bondage of envy, from the bondage of jealousy, and from those spirits of covetousness. You see, Jesus commanded us to love one another. Jesus even commanded us to love our enemies. But envy and jealousy and covetousness does not honor this holy commandment of God. The selfishness of envy, jealousy, and covetousness goes against the very true nature that God has called us as Christian believers to have. He commands us to love others and not allow ourselves to become envious of them. Remember what Jesus said to the disciple Peter when Peter asked about another disciple. Lord, what about him, John said. And Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. That's John 21:21-22. As Christian believers, we are called to forgive. A long time ago, John Paul Jackson wrote a book called Needless Casualties of War. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he wrote that book, Needless Casualties of War. Helen Baylor sang a song, Don't Let Another Wounded Soldier Die. If we are tempted, envious, jealous, or covetousness, or covet of others, we can fight back. You're called. Just like the Holy Spirit is called to come alongside the Paracletos, the Comforter, called to come aside you and I, the Helper. I know some of you probably wonder what I be thinking, but I know I'm called to the Ministry of Health. But it seems to be a forgotten ministry. We seem to have forgotten we're called to help one another. People seem to not want to remember that. Why? Because we're lazy. We've just become lazy. The good news what the devil has tempted you with through envy and jealousy and covetousness. You can overcome that today. The Bible says that no temptation that overtakes us that is not common to man, this isn't common to man, that God is faithful and he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. He says that when we are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that we can endure it. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Envy and jealousy are not the same. So you're probably thinking, if envy is so bad, why does God admit to being a jealous God? There's a difference between jealousy and envy. And the answer to that question is yes, in the Word of God. You see, there's something called divine jealousy, godly jealousy. And it's more about guarding God's people and protecting them from false gods and evil rivalries that are apparent and out for their affection. It's about keeping people pure in their love for God. You know, God says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. But it ain't perverted. Exodus 34:14. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, most certainly in the fire of my jealousy, love for that which is mine, spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who appropriated my land for themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and with utmost contempt, so that they might empty it out and possess it as prey. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy, my love for that which is mine, and in my wrath, because you have endured the shameful insults of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand and sworn an oath that the nations that are around you will themselves endure their shameful insults. But you, O mountains of Israel, will put out your branches and bear your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. Ezekiel 36, 5 and 8. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. Zechariah 8, 1 through 3. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you a pure virgin to him. 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. Joel 2, 18. There's a difference between envy, jealousy is especially important. Godly jealousy is holy, just as God is holy. Catch this. Human jealousy is only justified when it upholds divine will. Human jealousy, like Sarah displayed against her handmaid Hagar, was justified because Sarah was seeking to uphold her marital relationship with her husband, Abraham. She was also fighting to protect her home and the security of Isaac's inheritance. You see, God had made a promise to Abraham to have descendants through Sarah. While God was kind to Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, he upheld Sarah's position. Nobody wants to be considered jealous. It's a fact. Envy is described in the Bible as a sin. Jealousy is more about guarding what you have with zeal and passion. Satan perverted it. Envy is more about wanting what the other person has. Envy is closer to the biblical sin of being covetous. To be covetous is to be marked by inordinate desire for wealth or possessions or for another's possessions. Having a craving for possession. That's what I found in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It is called, keeping up with the Joneses. Envy is defined as a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Jealousy may often be used as a synonym for envy. Jealousy can also be defined as being vigilant in guarding a possession. Therefore, I can be jealous over my family in a show of devotion. I can be jealous of my husband. It shows my fervent love for him or her. I'm guarding my loved ones from those who would take them away from me. Human jealousy is flawed, though. It can go too far. It can turn into and become rage-filled. I'm going to give you some biblical cases. You read them for yourself. Remember Dinah? And her angry brothers in Genesis 34. Her brothers killed the entire town in their jealous rage over her violation. Then remember we talked about Tamar and her brother Absalom, who killed his brother Amnon after he raped Tamar? Absalom fled, but eventually became bitterly envious of his father David's reign. You see, envy has nothing to do with love and devotion. It's all about bitterly wanting what the other person has. It's all about carrying a grudge because we want to possess what someone earned, worked hard for, or even if it's been given to them, it's theirs. Envy is not a wishful longing. It is being resentful of the success of others. Envy can be upfront malicious in its intent. Envy can become vengeful. God says it's a sin. A person can behave spitefully when they are envious. They can be unkind and cruel to the other person. An attitude driven by their resentment, their hidden resentment. You see, most people, and I was one of them up until last night, most people, including me, we're unaware of the subtle differences between envy and jealousy. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. I studied them all last night. I'm going to give you some instances. You got to do this for yourself. Some instances in the Bible that show the sinfulness of envy. But where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. James 3:16, brothers and sisters. But we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Titus 3:3. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, plural, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past time, that they which do such things, listen to this, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You wonder why you ain't seeing no signs and no miracles and no wonders, and you ain't gonna see none. As long as people are walking around here with envy and jealousy and covetous, because resentment and all of that other stuff has already integrated into their soul, blocking, allowing greed and lust to operate. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy. I mean, how many times God got to put it in here? It's a desire, the pure milk of the word. Acts chapter 7, verse 9, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. The Bible is replete with stories of envious people. In fact, the sin of envy appears early in the Bible with the story of Cain and Abel, Isaac and the Philistines, Abraham's son. There's a brief story there. Isaac was wealthy like his father. This story illustrates the envy that wealth can cause. Abraham starts back there. It really starts in heaven with Lucifer becoming envious of God. I mean, Jacob and Esau, Genesis 25. Leah and Rachel, envy. You see, that rivalry was extreme. Sometimes envy and jealousy, I'm speaking specifically about envy because it's a sin. Envy is in our family lines, brothers and sisters, through no fault of our own. Sibling rivalries exist. Parents have shown favoritism and created bad situations. Sibling against sibling. God knows our situation, brothers and sisters. And so then, because you experienced that at home, you bring that in the church with you. There are some people that really have not experienced that. It's foreign to them. You have to let that stuff go. We got to let those grudges go. You got to examine yourself. You got to deal with that envy. It's a blocker. One of the most famous stories in the Bible about envy is the story of Joseph and his brothers. That is also group envy and group rivalry. One person get it, and then they put together another little group, and then they say, let's pray about it. But you know what you be praying? You be praying psychic prayers against a man or a woman of God. You're being used by the devil. You become a satanic agent. God wants us to, God says he's married to the backslider. He wants to restore the, he wants us to restore those that are estranged from him. Another story interesting about envy in the book of Samuel. You know, David and Saul, they started out as comrades. Remember? David and Goliath? Saul had even offered to give David his own armor. You see, it may have looked like that Saul was only trying to guard his throne. God had rejected his kingship and planned to remove him as king of Israel. Saul continued to have wrath and envy towards David until his dying days. Nothing was ever long-lasting. Saul continued to reject God's will until he took his own life by suicide in a battle. What's really interesting, King Saul made David's life a living hell through his envy and his envious actions. David never retaliated. He defended himself, but he never took advantage of his opportunities to kill Saul. There's a story in the Bible about Daniel. Daniel is a story about group envy. One man stirred up 120 other local governors, and they made them envious of Daniel's position through a lie. Through a lie. People coming together with malice and hatred in their hearts to destroy somebody else because they were made envious through a lie. That's called mob envy. Brothers and sisters, the king was forced to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Thankfully, God sees all and he knows all. And he watches out for us so that we will always, always get overthrown by the devil. God performed a miracle for Daniel and shut the lion's mouth so that Daniel was not torn and eaten up. But guess what? Those villains who had envied and planned and schemed against Daniel were caught in their own trap. I hope you're getting something from this, because now I'm going to tell you the worst story in the Bible about envy. It's when the evil religious leaders began to hate Jesus for his wonderful works and his powerful words. They rejected him, and they rejected everyone who praised him. Finally, they decided to get rid of him by crucifying him. The Bible attests that their evil works were the result of envy. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew, are you getting this? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. That's found in Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 18. Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus. I gave you some biblical examples of envy to confirm to you that jealousy and envy, covetousness, has always been a problem for our human hearts. It's always been a problem for our soul. People have been envious or envied since time began. Through the Bible, we can identify the sins of envy hooked up with jealousy and covetousness. And if you look even deeper, you'll see that it's never rewarded by God. However, if you look even deeper than that, you can see how we can destroy the works of the spirits of envy, jealousy, covetousness that have integrated with the spirits of resentment, greed, and lust. You can stop them. You have the authority. You have the power. But first, you got to immediately repent yourself. You got to ask God to forgive you. You got to ask God to free you from those spirits. Envy, jealousy, covetousness. You got to forgive your family members. You got to forgive your children. I'm not exaggerating. Jesus says, "Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." Ezekiel 38 and 10. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts," so forth. Mark 7, Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart saying, repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Envy, jealousy, covetousness is a yoke of bondage. And you gotta get free, stay free, and free others through the living power of God flowing through you. Your freedom is secure in Christ Jesus. God never changes his mind. The Holy Spirit never comes against his law. There are no take backs. The devil may have tempted you, and you may have complied and yielded in these areas. But the bottom line is, if you can't see it yourself, for yourself, you're going to always be bound by it. But you see, now that God has shown me the difference, I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to help people get free from it. But this is something you got to do. If you see yourself in this message this morning, cast it out of yourself. Free yourself this morning. It's something you gotta do. Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to tell the world I do.